Amen. Amen. Well, happy Easter, everybody. You guys doing all right? All right. My name's Dane. I'm the pastor here at New Life Fellowship. A little bit about me. I grew up here in Utah. My parents moved to Utah when I was 8 years old. So I grew up here. When I was in college, I went away to California for a little bit, but then I did the strange thing. I actually came back to Utah. But one thing that when you live in a place for a very, very long time, you kind of get used to it, and you forget about things. And so, for example, I have friends and family that will visit from out of state and come to Utah, and they would always be amazed by the mountains and this valley. Logan is it's too bad Logan's becoming more and more well known. The little secret's out, but. They come and they say, "Wow, man, I can't believe the mountains here in Utah and how great and awesome it is." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, you know, you kind of grown accustomed to it. You kind of lose that sense of awe and respect for it." When I went to school in Santa Cruz, and Santa Cruz is right along the ocean, and I would go down there to the boardwalk, and I would watch the waves in the ocean and look at the surfers and the cliffs and everything, and I would tell my friends who grew up in that area, I go, "Isn't this amazing?" And they're like, "Yeah, you know." It's like, man, you lose the awe of things when you've been around it for a long time. My older brother Lance, he lives in outside of Cody, Wyoming, in a little town called Wapiti, Wyoming, and it's between Cody and Yellowstone, so it's nestled right up in the mountains, and to get his house is like the last house before National Forest, and there's no houses around, and he's got this big open pasture in his front yard, and during the fall, it's not unusual to find a herd of elk just grazing right there in his front yard. And I often say, "Lance, this is amazing. How do you get used to it?" "Yeah, it's okay, it's cool." It's interesting in our life that we can be around something and lose the significance or awe of it. And what I'm afraid of is that as Christians, we can do that when it comes to Easter and to Christmas, where Easter it becomes just this other holiday or this event on our calendar where I guess it's Easter time. I got to do my one-year church attendance thing. And you go to church, you dress up, but we can lose the significance or the awe of what Easter is about, even with Christmas. Like Christmas, man, we're talking about God has come with us, to us, Emmanuel, God with us. God in a baby. And we look at that and like, "Oh yeah, what'd you get for Christmas?" You know, we lose the significance of it. And here on Easter Sunday, man, what this represents, what this means, that on Friday, this Good Friday, that Jesus says, the Bible says that we are all sinners. All of us are sinners and fall short of the glory of God, all of us. We can never measure up. We can never measure up and be close to God. But God, in his love for us, sent Jesus to this earth, and he pointed us to the kingdom. And on Friday, this Good Friday, where the Bible says that he took our sin, your sin, my sin, and he died in that sin. Took it upon himself, not only a physical death, but a spiritual death, the fullness of it. And he died a brutal, brutal death. And he was dead and buried, but he defeated sin, defeated death by rising from the grave. And when he rose from the grave, the Bible says that whoever believes in him, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, will be saved. It's awesome. And we shouldn't lose the awe of that, the reverence of that, the holiness of this day and what it represents. And so my desire, my hope and prayer today is that we get a glimpse of who Jesus is, get a glimpse of what he has done, of his amazing power, his amazing compassion, and his amazing love that is given to, listen, everybody in this room. Everybody in this room can experience a relationship with Jesus that is real and personal. And it's, listen, it's not religion. It's a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's my desire today, is that we walk away from this like, huh, I know Jesus and he knows me. And so what we're gonna do today is I'm not doing a typical Easter message. I'm gonna tie the Easter message in with it. So if you came looking for like the Matthew 28, 27, you know, sorry, you're stuck. But we're gonna look at Mark 4 and Mark 5, and really has nothing to do with Easter, but it does. Everything deals with Easter. But what I want us to see is we look at Mark 4 and Mark 5 is who Jesus is and what he can do and what he can do in your life and what he can do in my life. And so I'm in the church business, and in the church business you hear the suggestions when it comes around Easter, because you have a lot of guests, a lot of visitors at Easter, and they say, well, one thing you do at Easter is you don't read a lot of scripture. You keep it short and concise, and you shorten up the message because, you know, visitors are. And I'm like, no. So you're getting a lot of scripture today. You're going to get a lot of scripture today, because outside the Bible, I really have nothing to say. I mean, so why not just focus on the most important part, and that's the Bible. So we're gonna read a lot of scripture. But if you don't have your Bible, if you don't have a Bible with you, that is fine. We'll have the scripture up on the screen, and we're gonna read along. What I want you to see in the passage is there's different events that happen that we're gonna read, and it's all in one day. All of it's happening in one day. Remember back in the day, there was a TV show called 24. Remember that? Where Kiefer Sutherland beat everybody up, you know? And the whole TV series was about one day, and every episode was like 1 hour of that one day. And you're like, wow, that was crazy. So what we're going to see is just one day of all these events that Jesus goes through. And you think, man, that's a lot of what he's going through. Listen, following Jesus is never boring. If you're a Christian and you're like, man, Jesus is boring, you're doing it wrong. Following Jesus is never boring. We'll see. Following him is always exciting. So Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 5, 35, I mean. And let me just set the scene. What's happening is Jesus has just finished teaching, and now he is getting in a boat with his disciples, and they want to go from one side of the shore across the sea to the other side of the shore. That's where we're at, okay? So Mark 4, verse 35. On that day when the evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took with him in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. And he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, and he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Chapter 5. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran, fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, "Do not torment me," for he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down to the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what had been happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but he said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, and he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even the garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And this disciple said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from a ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw the commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Okay. I know a lot of scripture. There's a lot going on here, and typically these passages of scripture are all done individually. They break them up and do them individually. I've decided to do it all together, and I know what you're thinking, man. It's gonna be a long day, but it's not. Trust me. I have 3 points. So 3 quick points is this: number one is be in awe of his power. Number two, be in awe of his love. And number three, be in awe of his compassion. And so remember, all of this took place in one day. All of this is taking place in one day. And the first point I have for us is to be in awe of his power. So at the beginning, you have Jesus. He's tired from a full day of teaching, and he gets in the boat, and he's with fishermen. So these are professionals who are out on the sea with them. These are not some casual guy saying, "Hey, let's take a boat." That, you know, they're not rent a boat, rent a sailor kind of guys. These are professionals that are with him. And they get into the boat. Jesus goes to the stern of the boat and he falls asleep. And all of a sudden, there's this storm that comes upon them. And waves are coming in, water's coming into the boat. All this is happening, all while Jesus is asleep in the stern. And they go to him and they say, "Why are you asleep? Don't you care that we're going to die?" So there was two things that they were, there was something they were certain of and something they weren't certain of. They were certain, "We're going to die. We are going to die. We are certain of this." What they weren't certain of is if Jesus cared or not. So in our lives, all of us in this room at one point or another have been in a similar situation, if not you're going to be, where there's a storm in your life. It could be medical issues, health issues, struggles in your life where it's overwhelming you. And you got the news from the doctor and it's certain. This is what you're facing. This is what you're going through. This is what you're going to face over the next several months, weeks, if you even last that long. Or you're facing financial difficulty in your life and it's overwhelming and it's certain. You're looking at it. You're looking at your job. You're looking at your bank account. You're looking at it. And it's like, this is trouble. Or you're looking at your marriage and you're looking at, man, I don't know how we can reconcile this. I don't know what we're going to do. This is serious trouble. And you're certain of the outcome. The reality is right in front of you. But what is uncertain and what you feel in your heart is, does God even care? Because you're in the midst of the storm. You're in the midst of the trial. You're in the midst of the hardship. And you're praying, don't you care? And I think we've all been there at one point or another where you're praying and you're calling out to God and you're like, man, I am facing reality here. And I'm praying to you. I'm going to church. I'm reading. I'm doing all these things. And you're silent. And you're frustrated and you don't know if Jesus cares about your need or not. And it says that Jesus gets up and he says, "Peace, be still." And really what he is saying here is, be quiet and stay quiet. That's what he's saying. Be quiet and stay quiet. And he's talking to the weather. And what's crazy is the weather obeys. Amen. It's quiet and it stays quiet. He's telling reality to be still. He can say to whatever situation you're facing right now, be quiet, be still. And here's the thing, and he turns to the disciples, why are you afraid? Just believe. Now, that word belief, faith, is throughout all of these stories. Believe. In the disciples, you would think, man, Jesus did it again. He took the wheel. He took it from my hand, you know. But it says they were even more afraid. They were even more afraid. Why? Because what is greater than the storm you face? The one who can control the storm. And they have this holy fear. We've never seen anything like this. Who is this guy that can say to reality, be still? You have a God that is all powerful. I'm telling you. Whatever you're facing, God is powerful enough to work in your situation, to work in your heart, to work in your life, to work in your marriage, to work in your health, whatever it is. You have a powerful God. He is not asleep at your situation. He is fully aware, and he fully loves you. Embrace and be in awe of the power of God. And if the cross points to anything, it points to the love of God. It points to the power. If Resurrection Sunday points to anything, it points to the power that Jesus has power, not over only weather, but he has power over death. So what do we have to fear? And so they arrive at the shore, and that leads to the second point. The second point is be in awe of his love. So they arrive at the shore, and just imagine, put yourself in the disciples' place at that time. You just experienced one of the greatest miracles you've ever seen in your life. A storm that was going to kill you is now done. And I'm sure they were sitting on the beach going, I wasn't scared. John was scared, but I wasn't scared. Peter was scared, but I was not scared at all. Did you see that? And all of a sudden you hear this screech and you look up and there's a naked demon-possessed man coming running towards you. You're like, all right, this is going to get interesting, right? This is a showdown. And you're like, all right, my money's on the guy who just calmed the storm. Let's see how this battle comes about. So you got this naked demon-possessed man screaming, coming running down the mountain, and you think, all right, let's see this battle take place. And guess what happens? The demon-possessed man falls at the feet of Jesus. There's no battle. You think there's a battle between good and evil here? No, there's no battle. Jesus is standing there, and the demon falls at his feet and begs, don't send me out of this country. Instead, let me go into those pigs. And Jesus says, what's your name? Legion. There's 2,000 of them. 2,000 demons coming and bowing at the feet of Jesus. Man, you don't have to be afraid of the evil. Put your faith in Jesus. So think for a second about this man. I don't think this man, when he was 7 years old, thought, you know what, one day I want 1,000 demons in me, and I want to live in the tombs, and I want to cut myself. That's my life goal. No, he never, in his wildest dreams, ever thought that's where he would end up. But that's where he is. And the Bible says that they used to bind him with ropes and shackles. And so there was a point where people can subdue him, but not anymore. He's overcome this. And now he's living in the tombs. He is isolating himself. He's hurting himself, and he's hurting others. He's put himself, he got whatever it is, he got into something, and now that something has overtaken him. And so in our life, and I know that there's people in this room who can identify with that, where you've got into something and now that something has overtaken you. It could be an addiction. It could be pornography, be struggles, and you're coming to church and you look great, but inside you're hurting. You know there's this struggle. You know there's this battle that is taking within you, and you never thought it would take you this far, but here you are. Here you are, overwhelmed by a demonic pressure in your life. And you feel like you're lost. You feel like there's no hope. You feel like this is it. And you're living in tombs, you're living in caves, you're hurting yourself, and you're hurting others. And here's what Jesus does. He not only displays power to calm a storm, but he shows power and love to this man. He sets this man free. With a word, he is free. Imagine the love and grace that he doesn't say, well, first go do this, go prove yourself, go measure up, go to church, go read the Bible, go do this, and then when you're ready, come to me. No, he just says, in his demonic state, you're free. That means when we come to Jesus, we don't have to dress up, we don't have to put on this fakeness, we just come and we fall at the feet of Jesus. And he says a word to us and we can be set free. And what's awesome about this guy is that Jesus makes him a missionary, like right out the gate. There is no next steps class. There is no Bible study. There is no life groups. This kid goes, hey, I want to go with you. He goes, no. I got something better. You're going to be my missionary. What? I don't know anything. Hey, You once were, and now you are this. Go tell others. Ha! Man. Whatever addiction you are facing, whatever struggle you are facing, God uses things for his glory and your good. He can free you from it and then use it to free other people. That's the power of his love, the power of his love. And then we have the power of his compassion. And so the townspeople are like, dude, this is crazy. Get out of here. So they kick Jesus out and they go to the other side. Gets out of the boat, and along comes this religious guy named Jairus, a religious man. And what does he do? He falls at the feet of Jesus, a demon-possessed man, a religious man. We will all fall at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, we read this in Philippians 2, that every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. You can either bow now or bow at judgment, but you will bow. And so he falls at the feet of Jesus. And so this man comes and he says, Jesus, he has great faith. Listen to his faith. You can come and heal my daughter. She's sick and she's about to die. And so Jesus sees his faith and says, all right, let's do this. And urgency, the urgency of the hour, the urgency of the moment is right there. You can feel it in the air. And listen, I'm a parent. There's no pain like kid pain, right? When your daughter is hurting, when your child is hurting, you'll do whatever it takes to get them help, right, parents? Right? You're like, well, I don't know, have you seen my daughter? You know, you do whatever it takes to bring help to your kids. And that's what this guy's doing, man. I'm going to go to Jesus. And so there's this urgency, hurry, hurry, hurry. And then Mark interrupts this rushing story to this daughter with some lady and gives like this whole history of her medical history. Yeah, she was bleeding for 12 years. She's tried all these things. And then she's gone to doctor after doctor. She's only gotten worse. And think of it, this woman who has an issue of blood, she's got a disease. And if you have a disease, you're not welcome in the community. You're outside the community. You're shunned. And so we have this urgency, get to the daughter, heal her. And along comes this lady, and you would think, listen, lady, it's been 12 years. Give it another hour. We got this girl who's going to die at any moment. What are you doing? But when you're in desperate situation, you don't care. You don't care. And she's thinking to herself, man, if I could just touch, if I could just touch his hem, the garment, if I just touch that, maybe there's a chance, there's a chance that I might be healed. So she reaches out and touches his garment, and instantly she's healed. Instantly. And Jesus stops. Whoa, 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 whoa. Somebody touched me. And the disciples like, yeah, you think? I mean, look around. Everybody's touching you. I mean, it's a crowd, and that's nice, Jesus. Sick daughter, get to. You know, what are you doing? No, no, no. Let's stop right here. Somebody touched me. No one wants Jesus to stop. The disciples don't. Crowd coming. Got to get going to this daughter. This lady does not want him. She doesn't want to be noticed. She doesn't want him to stop. Keep going. I got my healing. Keep going. And certainly Jairus does not want him to stop. My daughter, what are you doing? My daughter is about ready to die. What are you doing stopping, wondering who touched you? The only one holding all this up is Jesus. Because Jesus has a point. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He goes, there's somebody who touched me because I felt power escape me. And so finally this woman comes. And what does she do? She bows at the feet of Jesus, because we will all bow at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus turns to her, a woman for 12 years who's been outside, looking in, who's been defiled, who's been shamed, who's had issue after issue, worse after worse situation. He says, daughter, Imagine hearing those words. She probably hasn't heard them in a long time. Daughter, your faith has made you healed. It's not your mysticism. It's not the touching of my garment. It's your faith. Faith has healed you. And so, as he's talking to her, these guys come and say, hey, don't bother the teacher anymore. Bad news, your daughter's dead. And Jesus hears it, turns to the man who already had faith, says, don't worry. I'm going to take your faith to another level. You just got to believe. So they walk to this house, and he leaves the crowd behind, takes a few with him, walk to the house. There's these professional mourners there, and they're crying. And Jesus says, hey, she's not dead. She's only asleep. They start laughing. He says, get out. Anybody without faith, get out. If you don't have faith, you don't need to be here. They get out, and he says, rise. And this little 12-year-old girl is risen from the dead. And Jairus would have experienced Jesus' healing, but now he has power over death. It's an amazing story. And some of us may be wondering, why isn't Jesus moving the way I want? Why isn't he going at the pace I want him to go? When you can't see his hand, trust his heart. Trust his heart. Trust who he is. Trust what he has done. And that brings us back to this Easter service where Jesus displayed the fullness of his power, displayed the fullness of his love, and fullness of his compassion when he got on the cross and said, it is finished. It's done. And the veil was torn, and now we have access into a relationship with God. That because of what Jesus did and died on the cross and rose again from the grave, the storms that I face in life, I turn to Jesus. After all, he defeated death. If I'm overcome by addiction, if I'm overcome by struggles, if I find myself in a place of darkness that I never wanted to go, I can have light because he is the light of the world. If I'm facing a sickness, no matter how long it is, I can turn to the one and just believe, and he can heal. There's nothing that our God can't do. If the grave is empty, if the tomb is empty, anything is possible. Anything is possible. You see, today, this Easter Sunday, the greatest thing that you can do, the greatest thing to do that Jesus can do for you is not necessarily deliver you from the storm that you're facing. He can. Not necessarily free you from the addiction you're struggling with. And he can. Or heal you from a sickness that you've been fighting. And he can do all those things. But the greatest victory that you can experience today is to walk in relationship with him. Is to say, yeah, I believe what he did on the cross. That he was dead and buried and rose again from the grave. I believe that that was for me. And I'm all in. I'm all in on that. And if you say, yeah, I'm all in on that, then man, you are a new creation. You are, what the Bible says, born again. You've given a new life because you are dead now, and now you are alive because of Jesus. And it's all about faith. It's all about faith. Listen, it's not about religion. I know we live in a religious community. It's not about religion. It's not about church. It's not about, well, I went to church on Easter and Christmas, so I'm good. It's not about any of that. You don't get extra credit points because you came today. I'm just saying. It's not all about that. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what religion is? I go to a gym and work out. I know you can tell. You're like, yeah, I could tell, Dane. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. In this gym, they have a Stairmaster. The Stairmaster, you get on. You ever been on a Stairmaster? Anybody been on a Stairmaster? Yeah, I could tell. Pretty amazing. You get on that, and you're just, you know, and you're working out, and you're doing the Stairmaster like no one else. And you get done, it says 40 floors completed. You're like, yeah, 40 floors. And you only went 19 inches off the ground. You know what Stairmaster is? Religion. You're doing it. Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And you're not doing it. You're not doing anything. You may feel good about yourself, but you're no closer to God. You're no closer to God. It's not about what you can do. It's about what he has done. Amen. Jesus has come to bring you life and life to the full. He's come to deliver you from storms, to deliver you from addiction, to deliver you from sickness, but most important, to deliver you from sin. And so today we're gonna close. And man, if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, today's the day, man. Today's the day. Today's the day saying, you know what? I'm gonna say yes. I put my faith in that. You're not signing a paper to join a church. You're just saying, I say yes to Jesus. If he could do all that, then I'm all in. And so would you bow your heads in prayer with me? And I'm going to just simply ask right here, right now, if that's you, if you want to just agree with me in a prayer of open yourself up to the Lord, would you just indicate that by a raise of hand? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, would you just pray with me? Pray it in your own words. It can't be mine. It's your words. Pray in your heart. Echo it in your heart. Just, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you loved me so much that you died on the cross to give me new life. I don't deserve it. I can never earn it. Lord, I receive it by faith. Forgive me of my sins. Come in and cleanse me from the things in my life. I trust in you. Put my faith in you. I want that relationship with you. So thank you for that right here, right now. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you raised your hand or said that prayer and you meant it, man, welcome to the kingdom of God. You are a child of God. We want to walk with you in this journey. Man, we have people who would love to talk to you. Come and let us know about that. We have I Said Yes booklets in the lobby. Go to the Welcome Center and say, can I get one of those booklets? And we'll be happy to give you a booklet. It's to help you in your walk with the Lord. We have a class next Sunday at 9 o'clock you can come to that help you. But man, we just want to journey. It's a road. It's a journey. It's a journey that we're all doing together. Let's stand and let's close with this song, and then we're going to do the water baptisms and just celebrate people being baptized in water. So we're going to close with this song and then do water baptisms.